everyone, and welcome back to the pod. This time we're traveling across the ocean to interview Kathy Mahon in Ireland, who, as you'll hear, discovered when she was younger that she had the voice of an angel. MusicTalkers.com describes her voice as a soothing voice for troubled times. And Kathy really wants to attend to those who are suffering with mental health challenges or those who are affected by the harsh realities of war. Part of her miracle story is the really interesting way that she got discovered. And quite honestly, I'll give you a link in the episode show notes. On Spotify, her song Unity has over 350,000 downloads, so she is experiencing success. But it was her story about her close relationship with her beloved father and how even after his death, he's still around, that captured my heart. So without further ado, here's my interview with the incredible Kathy Mahon.
There's another one as well. The past few weeks, I'm a night owl and I might even go to bed between 1 and 2 o'clock. My mum has me. She'll even tell you the story. She has me. She'll hear her going, Kathy, go to bed. But some nights I can hear this at the door. You can hear a little creak at the door and I know it's my dad. Okay, I am a person who thrives on curiosity and connection, and I'm constantly learning every single day, and I'm trying to be kind. I want to bring kindness to the world as well, especially when I wrote Unity. You can hear it in my words, what I'm going to say now. So I've also lost nearly 5 stone. So as I said, I'm learning every single day and I'm experiencing every single day. I'm learning lessons and I'm very passionate and I'm constantly shaping and reforming and refining, striving and supportive. And anyone that needs my help, I'm here to guide them as well. I'm with Wave Motivation, and they have sculptured my life to the best of my abilities, and they're there as well. As I said, they make striving and supportive all the time. And what they do with me is they have I have a fantastic role model there in Wave Motivation. Her name is Gillian, and every month we have a consultation before I go up to Dublin. And then when I get up there, it's like a bit of a break as well from the house because I'm my mum's carer. And I also mind my little doggie as well. And my whole family is around me and they're very supportive. And I am very lucky. And what I want to do then is I want to bring positivity and integrity and creativity. And I want to be the best human being that I can and show empathy and kindness. And when I wrote Unity back a few years ago during COVID, you could actually hear those words. The words that I've told you now, they're all in that. And you were going through, after the COVID, we were going through that war. The world was in war. We had... God love them. Ukraine. And then not sure. Look at Iran now. We're going through the same thing now. It's a war. And
yeah.
It's such a sad time.
I just wanted to say that I think probably most of my listeners don't know what a stone is. So you said you've lost 5 stone. So can you, I think that's 20 pounds a piece, right? So it's 100 pounds.
It is. It's a hundred. I'm trying to figure out in 27 kg. Is it 26, 27 kg? So five. Yeah, it would be. I'm trying to figure out. I had to get the calculator out. Five Kathy, stone would be Kathy, like.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That yeah, is, it's amazing. It's just, it is. Yeah. I think it is 26 kg.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out what it is in pounds and I can't. But yeah, it's a lot of weight. And I think what made me do it was I saw myself, I said, if I don't start now, I was going to be heading for, I wanted to be healthy. I wanted to be healthy for mine and my mum, but also if touch wood with my singing, I hope I can help other people as well and give them the encouragement. I said the world is funny at the moment because not in a funny way, but with all that's going on, there's a lot of depression and anxiety and
you're right.
There's a lot. It's constant. It's a funny word. It's a peculiar word because nobody knows what's going to happen next.
Right.
It's just
right. Yeah. I want to just illustrate because you haven't brought this up and I'm not sure if you're being modest or you're just not talking about it, but holy cannoli, are you talented and an artist? And
I am.
Yes, you are. And I mean, quite honestly, I listened to your Spotify and I was like, oh my God. Okay, let me ask you, when you were a kid, did you think you'd be doing this?
No. I didn't even know I could sing until I went to, you call it high school over there, don't you? When I was 14, it was secondary school. And it was the music teacher that said, oh my God, you've got a great talent. She pushed me into everything. I was singing in you probably heard of Knock Basilica in County Mayo. That's where the apparitions. And I was even singing in over here. I sing over in the church as well. I sing where else? I sing everywhere. And then the biggest one was in Kilkee Castle in County Kildare, where I was singing at a festival with everyone. I was singing at a festival, and I happened to meet a few people there. And this man said to me, would you come to Kilkee Castle in November? I think it was July. So he said, will you come in November? It's a youth reach. It's a youth club where teenagers strive there and they go to Kilkee Castle every week and they learn. They do art and drama and music and everything. So one night in Kilkee Castle, there was a big event. And sure, who happened to be there in the front of the... In front of the stage, Mrs. Jane Seymour. I was there, and oh my God, I was just starstruck. Dr. Quinn, medicine woman. I was like, oh my God, it was amazing. And she was there. I was singing away, and there she was dancing away. She got up off the chair, and she was dancing and everything. But there was a tenor there as well. He's Irish, Ronan Tynan, and there's a few Irish actors there as well. There was a good few celebrities, and then I was invited up for dinner. Then, and sure, who was sitting beside me having the dinner? Jane Seymour. I was like, oh my God! I was like, all the years I've been watching. I was like, oh my God! All the years I've been watching. Of Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, and James Bond. And there she was, there beside me. She is a beautiful human being. She's beautiful. You never think she was, she's so down to earth.
Oh my God.
There's no ears or braces or anything like that.
Kathy, I want to ask you, because when this teacher came up to you when you were 14 and said, oh my gosh, you have a rare talent. Did you think to yourself, wait, are you talking to me? I mean, was it scary? Yeah. Was it exciting?
It was scary and exciting at the same time, but I didn't really hear myself, you see, singing, because she could hear me singing, because we were involved like in a choir as well in secondary school, and we used to sing at masses and stuff like that. And next thing, they started picking me out for singing solos and all that. And I was saying to myself, am I good enough for this? So this went on for a few years anyway. I sang for a few years. I'm trying to think now. Oh, I did try. Yeah. All Ireland's Got Talent in 2010. And I got to the 16. I got to the 16th person. And that 16th person was me. And I nearly got to the final eight, but unfortunately, no, didn't get through to the final eight. But you know what? It was the best experience I ever. It pushed me forward to do other things, but I was lucky. I must have been really good to get through to the, you see, what I can do, I can sing pop and I can do classical singer as well. So I can change my voice and I can do a bit of country as well. And I can sing the harmonica and a little bit of the piano keyboard. And
oh,
I think
gosh.
I played years ago as well, but I never really, I kind of put it aside. But the harmonica was my favorite instrument. And I pushed them aside for a while and then I went back to them. I kind of got bored easily. Then as I got older, I think I said to myself, do you know what? No, I'm going to start again, start from scratch. And then David Skelton was the man out that he was a music producer. He helped me with Unity and sure, it was a buzz. And sure, it kind of took off from there.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. It kind of took off from there. I mean, talk about, I don't know if it feels this way to you, but do you ever think about it as like a Cinderella story a little bit?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And sure, all the people who listened to it, and it was on the radio stations. I had a local radio station, Galway FM it was called. And I went in for an interview and sure it was played a few times. It was played. And I have a lovely friend called Dawn Parry. She used to be with 365 and now she's living over in Japan. She has a radio station. She plays it all the time. Kind of took off from there. And you might have heard of Steve Lillywhite, who was married to he was married to the late Kirsty McCall, who had the Pogues, you know, the Pogues fairy tale in New York.
Yeah.
He was there as well. He was one of the judges and he was gobsmacked. He said, oh, wow, this is amazing. So all the people, all the 80s legacy artists that I've got to talk to. And then the experience kind of grew from there and I got more confident.
Can I ask you, what does your family think about all this? Like, are they just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing?
They do. And they're like, sometimes they say, what are you going to get out of this? And I was like, well, experience. they've been always supportive.
It sounds like they believe in you. And, you know, just talking about family, mm-hmm. Can I ask you, is this a gift that's in your family? Or are you, like, did your grandparents have it? Did someone, a cousin?
Oh, they did. They were all musicians. My granny and granddad, my dad's, my late dad, the creator. Oh my God, I know he's watching this. He loved this though. But his mom and dad could play the harmonica and they were always singing over on the stage. My dad was a local actor over in Corrifin there at the Drama Society. So, and he used to sing all the time. And I got the singing book from them anyway. And maybe the acting book. My brother is a fantastic singer. Michael, he is a wonderful singer and he is absolutely, he's a hard worker. But I wish he would have recorded something because he has the voice. He is a wonderful voice. And my other brother then sings in the choir in the QT. And he can sing too, and my sister as well, but they're too shy, as I said. Oh. But I wish, as in, I wish my other Mike and my brother would record something because he is absolutely gifted.
I mean, I have to tell you, you know, I was in choir as well. And, you know, just to, I don't know what sick thing my choir director was thinking in high school, but I think he wanted to get me to be less shy and scared. So he said, all right. Yeah. He's like, yeah. Senior year, you're going to sing a solo. And I was like, I'm going to throw up everywhere. Yeah. I'm going to like projectile vomit. And yes, I almost passed out. I almost threw up all over everyone. I almost just, it was so much terror and fear. And once it was over, I was like, thank you. I survived. But it is, you know, some people can do it, like face that fear. And some are just like, no thanks. And to me, it indicates that you're fierce. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yes. But I can relate when you said at the, you know, early on in life. Yeah, I was the same way. I'd be nervous before maybe half an hour before performing. But oh my God, no. After that, then I was fine. As I got older, every Christmas then what I do is I always have a speciality. For Christmas Day, I sing a Holy Night. And they know, everyone knows that Christmas Day, when Christmas Day comes, a Holy Night is that's my speciality.
Oh my gosh, I love that. You know, my first solo was a terrible song. Do you know Send in the Clowns?
No. How does it go?
It's so bad. It's so bad. It's like, it's so depressing. It's like a depressing song. It's like someone who's reflecting on their life. And he's like kind of sarcastic and like cynical and stuff. And it's like, isn't this rich? Aren't we a pair? You here at last on the ground, me in midair. And so I'm just like, you know, it's a weird song for high schoolers to sing. The other song was, oh my God. I think it was Boz Scaggs' Heart of Mine. Heart of Mine. I mean, look, it was the 80s, okay? And granted, like, I don't have a great voice.
I absolutely love the 80s music.
Me too.
The 80s, 90s. Oh, I love it. Oh my goodness, I do.
Me too. Let me ask you, just to get a little background here, did you grow up in a religious household? What did that look like? And, you know, do you have a connection to spirit? And if so, how has that evolved over time?
Oh, I do. I believe there's always, I remember when myself and my dad were like Siamese twins. We were so close. I was absolutely spoiled rotten because I was the youngest. My sister would be like 10 years and 5 months older than me. And then Michael would be 9 years older than me. And then my other brother, then David, is six years older than me. I came on in later life. I was born in 1979, which makes me 46. When my dad passed away in 2005, my dad had cancer. And the week before he died, he was calling his mum. He was calling Mammy. He was calling his mum. And I remember falling asleep and I could see her in the room with him. And then the night he died, I was so nervous. And I know for a fact, because of my dad saying to me, I'm going to be in your heart and soul. And I believe, yes. There is a such thing. And I know he's here the whole time. He hasn't left. And there's a few little experiences that I have seen. And I believe it. Absolutely believe in the spiritual life. The night he died, I was so nervous. I was afraid to sleep because I wouldn't even turn off the light for the first few nights. And I remember falling asleep and the door opened and Dad was at the door and he said to me, Kathy, he said, don't be afraid. He said, turn off the light and go to sleep. I, you know, I'm going to be here with you. And then I had a car crash a few years ago, about 3 years ago, where my spine and I had sciatica down my leg. And that was one of the goals. That was one thing, the goals of me losing the weight was when I lost the weight, the pain started easing. But I believe that he was there with me all the time. And I've grown into a better person, more kinder and more supportive of others. Even looking after my mum, I am more at ease now. And I just feel so much better in myself because I know for a fact that he's here with us all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Can I ask, is your family Catholic?
We are Roman Catholic. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So you
and our faith and our strength, and we are very strong Catholic family.
Okay.
But I respect every religion, and I believe that we are all the one religion. Doesn't matter if we're Muslim, Protestant, Catholic. What's a Buddhist? Is it Buddhism?
Yeah.
We are all the same. We all come from one of God's cloth. We are all human beings and we're all doing the same thing. And we are all, as I said, we're all the one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so intrigued, Kathy. I have to ask you, is your family, your ancestry, is it Irish, Irish, Irish? How long has your family been in Ireland? Do you know?
We have been in Ireland, I think, since the start of time. But my granddad, E.B. Major Mahan, he lived in Corrifin, but he immigrated to all my cousins. I meant to say that now to you. All my cousins, dad's first cousins, my granny's sisters, all of them went over to New York. They all immigrated except for her because there's a love story there. And I will explain. My granddad years ago, he was born in 1877 or something like that. He immigrated to America, I think, in his 20s. And we still don't know where he went over, but he was over there for a while. He was over there for a good few years because he came back a lot older. He was older than my granny. He was like 27 years older. He would have been, I don't know, would he have been, maybe he was an American citizen, but he was married over there and he had twin sons and he was very heartbroken. You know, TB was a big thing at the moment over there years and years ago, probably in the 1920s, probably the 1810s, 1910s, 1920s. But he came back because he was heartbroken. He came back to Corrifin. And I say a few years later, he met my granny. And sure, the rest was history. And sure, they had five children. Both of them were musicians. They played the harmonica over in Corrifin Village. They used to have little show, little drama society plays and stuff like that. And music renditions and stuff like that. So it was a big thing. And they went on, they had five children and they're very happy.
Wow. I mean, it's so clear to me that your family has talent and it's genetic. And I mean, I always think of what the Roman Catholic Church calls those charisms, you know, they're gifts that God has given you. Yeah. And that you have these gifts. Maybe it takes you a while to figure it out what your gift is. You know, maybe you don't find out till you're 30. Hopefully it's younger than that. But the idea is that then you will use that gift to lift others up or help others step forward and be a blessing to others. And it certainly sounds like, I mean, that car crash. Okay. First of all, I have to tell you that I am sitting here listening to you and you're like, I'm way more patient, way more kind than I used to be. And I'm having this and I'm like, that's impossible. You're already amazing. I can't even imagine that you would need to become more kind or more patient or tolerant or whatever you said. You just kind of exude like that you're a gift to people. But I mean, it absolutely sounds that you're taking your blessings, your gifts, and you're helping other people.
Now, there was times when I was, you know, we all get agitated. We all get, I think it was when I had the car crash that time, frustration and anger and why did it happen? And then I had to give work, I had to give up work, Care Plus. And, but I believe that if it wasn't for my mum, I don't know where I'd be today. And my dog, my gorgeous Yorkshire Russell dog. I have him 10 years now, and he's the best thing that has ever happened to me. And as I said, my family were supportive. I think I became a better human being as well, because I was in an awful lot of pain. When I walked crooked, and my back was absolutely bankjacked. And if you hear that word bankjacked, it means it was absolutely injured. I should say injured.
Oh, no. Can you say that word again? How do you say that?
Bankjacked.
Bankjacked?
Yeah, you nearly got it. Bankjacked. So it's like bang. So bang and then jaxed. I say G-A-X-E-D, jaxed.
Okay, got it. Oh my gosh, I love that. You just taught me a new word.
And I remember the guards, which we called the policemen, he called them cops, we called them guardie. He said, he was very, very good to me. And he said that the car was a write-off. He said, he didn't know how I came out of it alive, because there was the cops were there, the cop was there, the ambulance and the paramedic to pull out the door off the car that time. And I'm lucky to be here, because I'd say my dad, there you go again, my dad was there. And I think I conked out for a few minutes, because I remember there was another incident where my fleece, my top, or I had a fleece jumper, Care Plus jumper, uniform on. And when I woke up, it was like a stench in the car. And you know how the airbag has smoke coming out of it? The whole lot of the top, the front of the top was all burned. If I hadn't that on, I would have got some burns on my chest properly. And see, I had a blue uniform, like a nurse's uniform inside that. But like it comes down a bit like a little V. But if I hadn't that fleece jacket on, I definitely was burned. I was definitely, someone was looking after me. And I know for a fact it was my dad, Mick, that was looking after me that day in the car.
It sounds like he was formidable and unstoppable personality. Would you say that's true?
Yes. He was such a lovely man. And I know he will always be a lovely man. On the 5th of March there, he would have been 96 years old. My mum is 89 there on the 5th of February. And my dad would have been 96. So I gave him, I put up a beautiful message on Facebook, on social media, a tribute to him and a few photographs. And he meant an awful lot to me. And he was very good. We all loved him and we miss him. And we cherished every single day we had with him. Like I had my dad for 26 years. And for my sister, would have been longer, my two brothers. But I thank God I had the best. I have the best parents. And when I said the best parents, I know my dad is, he will always be my dad. Always. But he's an angel flying around now, so.
I love that. I wanted to just say that, you know, just looking over your Instagram, you are always lifting other people up. And one of the things that I thought was so cute was, I don't know if this is your friend or an acquaintance or what your relationship is, but this really funny gentleman.
I know who you're going to say.
Seems like a great sense of humor, who does this like word of the day thing. You got him to wish your mom a happy birthday.
I did. Yes. I got to know him on Instagram and I was chatting over and back to him. And there was, and he was on, I'll tell you what he was on. He is on that day program and he was on Celebrity Get Me Out of Here. Now, he should have won it because he was fantastic. But he came in third. And since that, we were, you know, chatting away at everything. And I said to him, would you do me a big favor? I said, would you be able to wish my mum? Because mum absolutely adored him. And there was another guy as well. He was Australian. They called him Kev, Kiosk Kev, because he was the main man there where if they got tasks and stuff like that, they'd put the money into a bag. And if they got there was a quiz, there might be a false or true or false question. And if it was true, he'd hand them out some treats. And if they didn't, he'd put down the hatch on the kiosk. Yeah, he was absolutely fantastic. And he did the same thing. I said to him one day, I said, it's my mum's birthday. And you know what? He said, you know what I'll do? I'll send you a video as well. So he sent me a video on the DMs on Messenger. And Sherman was absolutely, oh my God. She was absolutely, she was delighted.
And you made that happen. You totally made that happen.
Yeah. She loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Well, also, I think it's, you know, a couple years ago, I moved home to take care of my mother for 2 months. And then a whole bunch of things happened that were completely, you know, unplanned. And it ended up being 6 months. And, you know, by that time, my mom was like, all right, you got to get out of here. Like, so I just want to witness you and tell you that I see the work you're doing. And I know you love your family, but taking care of people is really hard work. And I want to just honor you for that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very true. But as I said, my mom is my rock. And she's amazing. And I know Dad would have wanted it that way. 12 years ago, I met someone and we got married in 2016. It didn't happen. It didn't work out. Long story about it. I'll tell you again. But we were 2 years married. And then I said, you know, things work out for a reason. I think I was made to go home. But no, it's just one of those things. You know how marriages don't work out. I was sad because I did love him, but these things happen. And I said, you know what? I think the Lord works in mysterious ways because he sent me back to my mum. And I believe that I'm here for a reason. And I'm here to look after my mum.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And you know what? Now I'm so happy now. Because after I lost all that weight, I just feel more confident. And I feel like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders as well.
You know, you've already shared these stories about your father and how before he passed away, you know, he was talking to his mother and you saw her in the room, but then also that, you know, he's shown up for you and, you know, caused little miracles in your life to happen. And that you know that he's always around, but you also know all of your family is all around. So you've kind of shared a few stories, but I'd love to ask you if you'd like to share anything else that you consider to be magical or miraculous or even mysterious.
Yeah. There's another one as well. The past few weeks, I'm a night owl and I might even go to bed. But between 1 and 2 o'clock, my mum has me. She'll even tell you the story. She has me. She'll hear her going, Kathy, go to bed. But some nights I can hear this at the door. You can hear a little creak at the door. And I know it's my dad. Because years ago, he used to say to me, I'd be down in the room and we'd be chatting away. And he said, you know, Kathy, he said, it's nearly time to get up. He says, the cars will be going over soon. He said, this could be like, and he was saying the car, yeah, he'd be saying that the cars will be going over soon. He said, and I know that's my dad at the door, the creak at the door. He was so funny. He was so comical.
Okay, so you need to explain, what does that mean, the cars will be going over soon?
Well, it could be, this could be like 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. And I think it was in the, we live outside, we live near the road, near the main, road there. And there'd be cars going over from between 4, 5, 6 o'clock, between 4 and 8 o'clock going to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's exactly what he used to say. He said, you know, Kathy, he said, if you don't go to bed, you see, I was a schoolgirl as well. He said, you know, every time soon now you'll be go, he'd say, that the cars will be start to go over soon. He said, and you're not gone to bed yet.
I have to say, I just want to say this, okay? Because the Irish and their way with words is just so beautiful to me. What they would have said to me was, hey, it's late, go to bed. Like, it's go yeah. to bed, it's late. But here's your dad. He sounds like a poet. And instead of saying, it's late, hey, I'm looking at my watch or the clock, it's late, you got to go to sleep. He's yeah. like, the cars will be going over soon. I mean, who says that? I yeah. am in awe, yeah. okay? Was he a poet?
No, but he was... As he was in the Drama Society over in Corrifin, so he would remember every word of songs, especially a song called Ned Flaherty's Drake. So I'd say it has about a million verses in it. I'd say about 20 verses, I'd say, of the song. But he would... He memorized how he did it, but he remembered every single word of that song. He probably would have had scripts because he was a local actor as well, so he probably would, yeah.
Did you ever get to see him on stage?
No, unfortunately, no. But he used to sing in the car. We'd be going into Galway shopping, into Galway City, which is like 20 minutes away from us. I'd hear him singing. He'd have the window down. I'm like, oh my God, you know, when you're a teenager, and it's like, oh my God, close the window. He'd be singing a few little luddles in the car.
Oh my gosh, he just sounds larger than life.
He had a beautiful voice.
And was unstoppable.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hearing your stories about him and just how he had this presence and that he was on stage and he was an actor and he was larger than life. He's this really gorgeous, big personality. And I don't know if he modeled a way for you to be in the world. I mean, did you look at him and who he was and think, oh, I can be like that too?
Yes. Even though he had other talents too, he was a great gardener and he was great at making bird boxes and flower boxes. He was an absolute, he had such talent.
Including now coming back and taking care of you and visiting from the other side.
Yes.
That's it. That's a wrap with the glorious Kathy. There's going to be links in the episode show notes. She actually does a duet with Kylie Minogue. I'm going to have a link to that. And then there will be a link to her Spotify, as well as to a couple other delicious items that I think you should check out. Yet another human being who's bringing great beauty in the form of her incredible talent to all the rest of us in the world. Thanks to everyone who listens. I got a couple more reviews this week, and that was very exciting. I'm always so grateful for that. But if you'd like to give me a rating or write a review, I would be so happy. I would, perhaps in honor of the Irishness of this podcast, dance a little jig. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Kathy. I mean, she's really lived into her charism. She discovered at a young age something that she excelled at.
And you know what? She's lived into it and she's still living into it. She's showing up in the world with her voice and her presence and her song, and she's striving to help those in need. So be like Kathy and live into your gifts. Live in to what makes you happy. And if we have a world of happy people bringing their gifts to all of us, just think about how groovy that would be. See you next time for the very next episode of the pod. And thanks again, everyone, for listening to this episode.